Maternity and paternity leave is finally a part of everyday life, at least in New York. You get 12 weeks off. It's not perfect. You may not get all your salary, but it's a chunk and it's a start. But what about before a baby is born? All the doctor's visits, the checkups, the ultrasounds. Those things are covered in a new law that took effect with the state budget. And again, it's far from perfect, but it's a start, especially for working families. That's today's story of the day.
Support for Story of the Day comes from Long Run Wealth, an SEC-registered investment advisor in Lake Placid, providing comprehensive wealth management, retirement, and financial planning solutions. LongRunWealth.com.
Hey, I'm David Summerstein. It's Wednesday, April 24th. First up, Governor Kathy Hochul joined other state leaders yesterday to celebrate the housing package included in the recently passed state budget. Speaking in Manhattan, the Democratic governor said there was always a commitment to leave the budget process with a housing plan in place.
An agreement that'll transform our state, put tenants and working families first, and allow New York to turn our vision of a better future into a reality.
Hochul says the housing package contains the biggest expansion in tenant rights for New York in generations and will result in thousands of new units of affordable housing. Some Republicans in the state legislature say the housing agreement falls short. Senate Minority Leader Robert Ort, who represents Buffalo and parts of Monroe County, says the package does little for those living outside of New York City. Efforts are underway to bring the legacy of Harriet Tubman into the present in upstate New York. An organization called the Underground Railroad Consortium of New York State held an informational session in Rochester this week to release more details about a Harriet Tubman Underground Railroad corridor in New York. Tubman was born into slavery in Maryland and escaped, and then she helped bring other slaves to freedom. She later lived in Auburn in central New York. Karen Kuhl is a member of the consortium. She says what Tubman fought for is relevant today.
She stood with the suffrage movements, demanding rights for women. Her story continues. Her struggle continues. Her fight for freedom continues. And her legacy is carried on by many individuals who they see her as the North Star, you know, trying to follow her examples and standing up for equal rights today.
Kuhl says the proposed corridor could include a variety of venues, including museums, hiking trails, and other spots where people could learn more about Harriet Tubman. She says it could boost economies and tourism.
When we go from Albany across to Auburn, Geneva, Rochester, Lockport, Niagara Falls, and Buffalo, a lot of that follows the route of the Canalway. So there's a lot of additional outdoor product that you can enjoy. And the Canalway played an important role for freedom seekers.
Kuhl says the process for getting a state designation for the proposed Tubman corridor is likely to take some time before there's a final approval. The new state budget includes the first ever paid prenatal leave policy in the country. Now, New Yorkers will get 20 hours of paid sick leave for health appointments during pregnancy. Our reporter Lucy Grinden spoke with SUNY Potsdam professor Lauren Diamond Brown, who studies reproduction, about why prenatal leave is a big deal.
To start off with, many pregnant people work, right? So even if we look at married couples, and there's plenty of people who are having children that are single. But if we just look at, say, married couples, 65% of families, both parents are employed today. They also need to see their maternity care provider a lot. So when you look at sort of a standard schedule of maternity care, you're looking at, I'd say, 10 to 15 visits throughout the course of the pregnancy. And that's if you're low risk. And most jobs don't have that many days of sick leave.
So Governor Hochul initially proposed 40 hours of paid prenatal leave, but the new budget only has 20 hours, which is still more than any other state. But is that enough to cover just the basic prenatal doctor's appointments?
I mean, it depends on lots of factors, right? If you're low risk or high risk, how far you have to travel for those appointments, how long your appointments last. You know, if it took you an hour round trip for travel, and you were spending, you know, an hour or an hour and a half, you know, in that visit, combining wait time with the office visit, and you're doing that 10 to 15 visits, that's adding up to, I don't know, 45 hours. So the 20 hours, you know, of paid sick leave isn't quite there. Now, maybe people have sick, you know, days from their job that they can combine with that. But again, they might have to use that for other reasons.
What you said about travel time brings me to my other question, which is, what are some of the biggest barriers to accessing prenatal care for people in the North Country?
Travel is a huge barrier, and that's gotten worse as we've seen a decline, you know, in hospitals that are no longer doing obstetrics care.
This is a sort of broad general question, but who's not getting enough prenatal care in the North Country, and how does that affect them?
People who don't receive prenatal care are 3 to 4 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related complications. Who in the North Country? I don't have data off the top of my head to report that, but broadly speaking, it's probably people who are low income, who don't have transportation. I'm just beginning to recruit participants for a study on perinatal care in the North Country. I'm just starting to put out flyers around the community and advertise, but I'm asking in this survey, you know, if people had prenatal care and when they started it, and a lot of questions about the quality of that care, as well as questions around other unmet social needs and, you know, if their maternity care was asking them about, you know, things like food security, intimate partner violence, childhood trauma, and then if they were given resources, and then hopefully I'll have data to really directly answer that last question.
How can people participate in this?
It's at tinyurl.com/northcountrybirth.
And what do you hope will be the use of that research? What do you hope will come from it?
I'm hoping to use it for advocacy. You know, we have, for instance, one of the few hospitals remaining up here, Canton Potsdam Hospital, doesn't do VBACs, does not offer vaginal birth after cesarean. And that makes our C-section rate in the county really high. We have other kinds of opportunities, I think, to improve our perinatal health care up here, as well as information on sort of if people are connecting to the resources that exist or not, and where are those gaps. I want to use this data to directly improve our perinatal health care and support systems in the county. And, you know, a few concerned citizens is not always persuasive to people in power, but I know that data speaks.
Lauren Diamond Brown teaches sociology at SUNY Potsdam. She spoke with Lucy Grinden. I want to take a moment here to thank you deeply from the bottom of all of our hearts here at NCPR for donating during our spring fundraiser. It was such an amazing success. We raised $10,000 over our goal. So that is terrific. Clearly, local journalism and regional journalism here in the North Country is important to you. It's important to us. And so when we have this partnership to keep this thing going and keep journalism strong here in the North Country, we do great things. So thank you so much for your support. Music today by Danny Thomas of Canton and Tim Elifritz of Johnsburg. I'm David Summerstein, North Country Public Radio.